Darius continued not to worry about oligarchy or democracy, but rather to worry about what was really on the minds of the Persians, and that was simply the matter of how to expand Persian power. He campaigned for the first time in Europe, in Scythia, and by about 514, under his expansion, Persian authority had reached right to the edge of the Aegean. Greek cities here had come under the control of the Persians, although in most places the Persian satraps had been willing to put in a Greek tyrant to act as a kind of puppet governor. The Persians, as I've pointed out, were generally content to leave native populations to rule themselves, provided the tribute was coming in to the Persian coffers. They did so here with the Greeks as well. Persian rule, quite simply for the most part, was not onerous, nor was it tyrannical. Well, there were some exceptions, but for the most part, it wasn't so. And the best measure for this is quite simply that after Persian authority had been thrown off as a result of the Persian Wars, and then the Athenians stepped in to create a league which required contributions from its various members, the contributions paid to the Athenians by their allies were assessed at the same amount as the tribute paid by the Greeks to their Persian overlords. So I think that tells us something about the nature of Persian power. Perhaps it tells us more about the nature of Athenian power. Nevertheless, all was not sweetness and light. And in 499, there was a revolt of the Ionian Greek states against Persian authority, which culminated in the burning of Sardis by a Greek force, which included an Athenian contingent. This annoyed the great king of Persia immensely, as you can imagine, and it set in train those momentous events which would lead to an invasion in 490 to punish the Athenians for the burning of Sardis, and then a second invasion in 480 and 479, where the entire Greek world would face the threat of coming under Persian control. The details of that actual set of campaigns and the impact on the Greeks I'm going to deal with on another occasion. But again, I want to just finish off this part of the lecture by commenting on the way in which the Greeks thought about the Persians at this stage of their contact. Herodotus tells a story of one of the Persian kings in which he dreamt of seeing two beautiful women yoked together side by side. And this dream was meant to suggest that one of the women was Europe and the other was Asia, and that this dream was suggesting that Persian authority would eventually yoke together Europe and Asia, that the Persians would conquer Europe as well. What Herodotus's story tells us is that in the minds of the Greeks, there developed in the 5th century a very clear notion that the Persians were unlike them, that there was some deep and fundamental difference between the way the Persians did things and the way the Greeks did things, and that this even was located in geography, that Asia and Europe were fundamentally different, and that the whole reason the Persians would eventually be defeated was because the gods would not tolerate one power uniting both Greece and Persia. So this notion of the Persian Wars as a massive cultural clash is something that took shape in the 5th century, and in the next lecture I'm going to talk more about this and discuss the extraordinary significance of this both for the Greeks and I think for the modern world as well. But what I want to ask at this moment in the lecture is that what the Greeks and the Persians at the end of the 6th century really thought? Not afterwards, not in hindsight, not after the Greeks had won the war and decided that this enemy was a great enemy but very unlike them, but actually in the 6th century, during the reign of Cyrus and Cambyses and Darius, what actually was the contact between them? What was the difference between them? Were they really two completely antithetical systems? And I think the answer must be emphatically no, they weren't. The Greeks were, in fact, divided among themselves into a number of different states. They were not a single Greek nation facing Persian might and power. They would only be that temporarily. And the political choices that they made were not the same throughout Greece. Not every Greek state was a democracy facing the autocracy of Persia. Some were oligarchies. Some had kings. Some had tyrants. There was a great difference all across the Greek landscape. So they were not the linear or the complete antithesis, if you will, of the Persians.